My opinion is that she's in mourning and that she's created this this reality.
Okay. No, we know you went on for about 3 minutes about it.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Hello and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast. I'm one of your two hosts, Russ.
And I'm the other half, Sean. And Russ and I have been friends since the 80s.
That's a long time ago.
Ago. In a far galaxy far, far away. And for this podcast, we sit down and we review stuff.
Like the first episode of a new streaming show and a movie from our childhood. And we let you know if you should watch it or avoid it.
Zip it or zap it.
Nice. Now with that, Sean, what are we reviewing this week?
Well, Russ, this week we are reviewing the highly anticipated Disney Plus exclusive WandaVision.
WandaVision,
brought to you by Marvel Studios.
And Disney Snap.
WandaVision stars the non-twin Olsen sister, Elizabeth Olsen, and Paul Bettany. A couple other people, but those are the two main drivers of this show.
They are WandaVision.
Yeah, we know these two from the whole Marvel Universe series, right? Elizabeth Olsen is Wanda Maximoff.
Wanda Maximoff.
And Paul Bettany is
Jarvis.
Jarvis.
That's all he is. He's just Jarvis. Vision. He's Vision.
He's Vision. Now, it's not the Vision. It's just Vision, right?
I had a vision of Vision.
Which one is it, Russ?
It's Vision. I don't know. Okay. The Vision. Yeah, Vision. He's Vision. He's just, it's like you're Sean. He's Vision. You're not a Sean or a Sean. I mean, you are a Sean. And to many, you might be the Sean.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I am the Sean.
All right, the Sean.
All right. Let's get back to WandaVision here. It's directed by Matt Shakman. I looked up his credentials and he's exclusively a TV series director, but he worked on one of your recommendations, Succession.
Oh, yes.
One of my recommendations, The Boys. And then probably one of both of our recommendations up until the final season of Game of Thrones. He did a bunch of other ones, but those are three that really stood out to me. I don't give a shit who produced it or wrote it.
Whoa.
Why do you always have... Oh, there's the swear jar. There's the swear jar.
You swore, so that's why a coin went in the jar. But Jack Schaefer, it should be... We should point out that Jack Schaefer created it.
She
created it, yes, she did.
Sorry, say your name again.
Jack, J-A-C. It's a woman, Jack Schaefer. Nice. She created it and wrote it. And I believe she also wrote the new Black Widow movie as well.
Okay. What are her writing credits? What's she best known for her writing? How'd she get this gig?
Good question. Let me just check here.
Russ doesn't know. While Russ is checking it out.
She did Olaf's Frozen Adventure, which is obviously
one of our favorite Olaf sequences.
She did the well-known Anne Hathaway Hustle. She did the story of Black Widow. So she's obviously in the Marvel pocket.
Yeah, this is Marvel Studios' first television series that they've produced.
That's correct. There's lots of shows under the Marvel TV, which is different than the Marvel Studios.
Okay. And Marvel Studios normally takes care of the films, right?
At this point, they just were part of the cinematic universe, yes.
And now they've moved over into the small box universe.
The small box, yes.
Nice. A couple little cool trivial things just about this initial episode. In order to capture the look and feel of the classic sitcom era, legendary actor and comedian Dick Van Dyke was consulted for this first episode. Furthermore, this show was also filmed in front of a live studio audience this episode was. I believe maybe subsequent ones were, but we're just talking about the first episode, right? We didn't dare move on and watch the second episode, did we, Russ?
I did not watch the second episode. I did not watch the third episode, because we should, I guess, be fully transparent and tell everyone that we're recording this after the third episode has been released. By the time this podcast is released, it'll probably be after the fourth episode is released.
Right. And we should probably let people know that if you haven't seen this episode, we will spoil it for you. So if you have not watched the first episode of WandaVision, you could probably listen for another 5 minutes or so. And then you should probably pause, go watch it, and then come back and listen to the rest of these two idiots talk about it.
Yeah, or don't come back. But thank you for listening to the first 5 minutes.
We want people to come back.
Thank you. I just appreciate everything they can do for us. I appreciate the first five. Sometimes that's all people can do.
He loves you.
I love you.
They built the set to be nearly identical as well to the Dick Van Dyke show. So that's pretty cool. And kind of a budgetary money thing here. The budget for each episode is reported to cost as much as $25 million, which now makes it the most expensive television series in history.
Now, did you get that stat by totaling the full budget of the whole production and divide it by 9? Or did that actual episode cost $25 million? It doesn't feel like a $25 million episode.
Yeah, it doesn't to me. So I was blown away by this stat as well. So I imagine what they did is they took the total of what the show was and then split it up per episode. So they kind of did an average per episode.
Okay.
But anyways, $25 million average per episode, even if this first one was only $15 million, that's a lot of money to throw at a half an hour series. A lot of independent movies barely get that kind of
money. They probably just had to pay a lot of money to each audience member to never tell anybody what they saw for the year that they had to wait before this released.
Yeah, all the non-disclosure agreements and buyouts and payouts and what have you. How'd you hear about the show, Russ? I mean, I've just, obviously there's been lots of hype about it when Marvel did their whole, this is what we're going to have coming up on Disney Plus trailer. Everybody saw little snippets of this. It confused the hell out of me, but that's how I first found out about it. And now everyone's been talking about it, anticipating and waiting for this to come out.
Yeah, I've been doing the same ever since I subscribed to the Disney Plus.
Episode 1. This is just named Episode 1. I couldn't find any sort of episode name for it. I've broken it down in little segments, and we're going to start with the first one, Meet the Cleavers. The episode starts with a catchy jingle in tribute to 50s sitcom television with its show opener, letting us know this oddball Marvel Universe couple, Wanda Maximoff and Vision, are trading up the big city for the small town life. Their morning starts with magical house chores and canned laugh tracks before Vision heads off to work. Not before the couple question a heart marked on the calendar, symbolizing some importance of the day. Agnes, who's played by Catherine Hahn, the neighbor to the right, stops by for an introduction and to help Wanda figure out how to make the evening special.
Now I realize why you asked me if it was The Vision or just Vision, because your notes, you had The Vision and you wanted to make sure you said it right.
Did you see how I improvised and I just you on the cuff
you did not say use the word the. But now, of course, I think, well, maybe it is the, because I look at how it's written and I hear what you're saying and I'm like, no, it maybe is The Vision. Is it The Vision? Is it Vision? That is the question.
Yeah, there's something else we can fight about at the end.
So you said canned laughter, but it was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Obviously, I found that tidbit after I wrote this synopsis, but I think it's in front of the live audience. I think there's also added canned laughter to that as well. Some of it sounds pretty phony, Russ. Pretty phony.
I don't know if you've ever watched a live show, but there are a lot of funny things in a live show that you would never laugh if it was filmed. And you should point out that Agnes is the neighbor to her right and not theirs.
Right. No, left.
I'm the neighbor to your right. My right, not yours.
Okay, let's get into it. This does not feel anything like a Marvel's universe, anything other than the look of Vision himself, which is in black and white. We noticed this is a square 4:3 ratio black and white episode. So they're going with the authentic 50s sitcom look of this.
It is very 50s sitcom-ish. Like it felt, the writing felt very classic married couple making it work with tinges of we're really superheroes from 2021.
Right. Yeah. They keep adding in those sort of moments of clarity that, you know, they know who they are and where they're from, but not completely. They don't completely know. They know that they have powers and right. that they, if they don't hide them, that they will stick out.
But they maybe don't know how they got here or why.
Yeah. So, yeah, here I've got a note here. Vision, you know, he's a machine, a very highly complex machine. He's mentioned in this opening part that he's incapable of forgetting, yet he's forgotten the heart on the calendar. He almost forgot to change his face on his way out the door to work. You know, he's forgotten a couple things here. And while they're really silly and quickly dismissed, I think they kind of pose a larger question as to why can't he remember these things? He's a machine. He's incapable of forgetting. Somebody's messed with his programming. You think?
I do not think. No, I don't think that at all. Have you seen any of the Marvel movies, Sean?
Yes.
Which ones?
All of them.
Okay. Do you remember in a little movie called Infinity War, when Thanos was fighting the superheroes at the end and he grabs Vision and he takes the Mind Stone from his forehead and Vision crumbles and dies?
Yes.
Right. So he's dead.
Yeah.
Vision is dead.
Okay.
Okay. So why can't Vision remember things when he's a computer? That's not Vision, my friend.
Okay, well, why didn't you just say that instead of making me look like a dumbass this whole time?
I wanted you to figure it out.
You know what, Sean? I don't think that's really Vision. I just think it's a figment of Wanda's imagination. But no, I'm going to go on with a really long, condescending rant and make you look like a total idiot.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't pick up on that. I didn't think about that. I didn't dive into really what WandaVision is technically all about. I kind of went in not knowing.
Well, I mean, I think this, like you said, this is not a normal Marvel piece of entertainment. This is asking a lot from their audience. This is asking that you've paid attention throughout the Tony Stark Avengers decade-long films, and that you're coming a little bit prepared, knowing what happened, and ready to go. I think you have to, and it is like, to me, this is a mystery. So this is a mystery show where you don't know what's going on. There's more, especially with the first episode. There's more questions than there's answers, and so you start to look for, you know, you start to look and listen for little clues to try to figure out what's going on. There's no action sequences. There's no a hero that you can connect to right away. Not necessarily, but yeah, it's different than what we've come to expect from a Marvel film.
Very, very different. Yeah. I mean, you don't really know it's a mystery at this point. I mean, they're posing some questions, but it's not really in a serious manner. It's just sort of almost slapstick 50s sitcom. So, you know, maybe a more someone that's sort of looking for Easter eggs and trying to pick this episode through with a fine tooth comb would maybe be looking for more things. But someone that's maybe just a casual viewer, as I guess I would be classified as for this episode in anyways, you know, I didn't get any really sort of sense of mystery. I was just like, this is a cheesy 50s sitcom. I mean, when are they going to start dropping something else? Like, why are we here? What's going on? Like, truly, what's going on? You know, this is not normal for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, yeah, why are we here? What is going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think this show is setting up another 10 years of storytelling. So it's very deliberate and concise and slowly table setting what we're about to see for the next 10 years. So
slowly.
Yes. And so, I mean, yeah, it's very, I think it'd be very difficult to judge this one episode as a standalone episode when I think this is just a sliver of what this full series will be. And just the opening play for a much longer story ahead of us.
Right. Right. I think that's it. You're looking at this as a setup for a bigger story. Yeah. And I've been looking at this episode almost like self-contained and you know, is the stuff within this first episode enough to keep me going and enough to give me interest into the story they're trying to present?
Right. Yeah. Cause they ask more questions than they give you, and they're relying on you sticking around. Cause if this is a one and done, I think people would be,
I think they're relying on you to be a Marvel fanboy a little bit when you're watching the show to stick around.
Yeah. Disney Plus released a couple like legend episodes. Did you see those? I think they're very short, but they just kind of review characters of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so they released two episodes, one of the history of Wanda and one of the Vision or Vision. And I think that would help anybody who was like, okay, what's this show all about?
Right.
I saw these movies, but I don't remember them many years ago.
Yeah, you know what? When I started watching this, I didn't do it, but I had an inkling to go back and watch The Age of Ultron, you know, when the Vision was first manufactured, I guess, as a word, you know, or made, whatever. And because I loosely remember, but I wanted to see it more in depth and detail on how he came to be. But I haven't gone back there yet. That's where we're introduced to Wanda the first time, too, isn't it? Age of Ultron?
Yes. Age of Ultron starts in that made up place.
Sokovia.
The real place of Sokovia.
So where is Wanda's Sokovia accent, which she lost throughout the couple of Marvel Universe movies?
Right. She had it in Age of Ultron. I think she kind of had it in Civil War. But after that, she just talked like...
Just gave up.
She like an American Full House girl. So that was all. I wish they just talked about that. Hopefully somewhere in the series they reference the fact that she lost her accent. So if WandaVision tells us anything, hopefully it tells us where her Sokovian accent went.
I just want to touch base really quick before we move on to Catherine Hahn, the neighbor to her right.
Her right, not yours.
Their left. I really like her. Catherine Hahn's funny as hell, man.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a couple. She was in an episode of The Romanoffs on Prime. She had a little series on HBO recently called, I think, Mrs. Fletcher. Anyways, she's a really good actress. She's amazing. I'm interested to see what she plays in this show for sure. I think they've got a lot more in store for us with Catherine Hahn for sure.
You know, for Disney Plus, this is a PG rated show.
PG. Okay.
I'm asking you to confirm.
I don't know. I don't know what the rating is. I would assume. I would think
this is PG, not PG-13.
No.
Might be PG-13. I don't know. Anyways.
I think the intent of anything like this is to keep it as low as possible.
Wanda's confused about what the heart on the calendar means. She thinks it might mean some sort of intimate evening. So there's some discussion and loose talk, sexual innuendo talk and stuff like that. And Agnes, the neighbor, drops a line, you know, about goosing your wife. and I thought it was hilarious, but I thought it was kind of brave for a Disney Plus show to be, you know, kind of talking like that. But I guess this is more geared towards Marvel.
Before you lose your wife? Was that it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah, there's some funny bits in here for sure. I know it kind of stayed maybe too long in the 50s genre of sitcoms, but to me there is the whole like peekaboo kind of, you know, cover their eyes and say, and the whole European "you're my host" thing was kind of funny as well. I mean, I guess to follow up with my condescending rant earlier, like I think I know. So to me, I went back to Age of Ultron. I watched a little bit of the initial stuff of Age of Ultron. I'm like, okay, what was their life, her and her brother's life before the Avengers came in and they were in this like Sokovian compound with this, evil kind of experimenter Strucker who was doing experiments with them with like Loki's staff, which had the Mind Stone in it. And so I'm trying to think like, what was their life like in that location? Did they watch a lot of old American reruns? Like, is this somehow her escaping to something that she found pleasant in a time of like, that maybe got her by as a child? I know in, it talks about an Age of Ultron where her parents were killed when she was 10. They blew up from a Stark bomb, and that's why initially they're not, you know, they're against Iron Man, but they soon realize that Ultron is even worse, so they switch sides. But so I'm trying to think of like, why this television series? Like, you know, so if Vision is dead, her brother is dead, she's mourning, she's obviously, you know, she's got this, you know, Wanda's powers of telekinesis or just like mind stuff. She's maybe created this some sort of, and I've obviously done a little bit of research too as far as whatever the theories are, but what seems to make sense is that she's created some sort of reality for her. But my theory is that it's based on something that she probably took great comfort in when she was, you know, maybe when she was in her cell in Sokovia being experimented on. Maybe they had some, you know, old TV that they got to watch, Leave It to Beaver or the Dick Van Dyke Show or I Love Lucy. And maybe this is where all this kind of love for or comfort in sitcoms where she's created.
Maybe she was locked in a basement, you know, and chained to a chair. And, you know, every now and then her Italian brother would come down and give her a plate of food. And really, she just wanted a baby Ruth, you know, and she's, you know, and the only comfort she had during that time was watching Dick Van Dyke shows.
Yeah.
Between baby Ruths. And then one day this fat little kid Chunk came down and saves her and took her to Sokovia.
Oh, bless you. And
thank you. Saved her, took her there.
Right.
And superpowers.
Right.
End of story. Age of Ultron. Let's go.
Where is that a reference to something that I'm not getting?
Probably. You obviously don't know the Goonies very well. So.
I know Astoria.
That was Sloth. That was the story of Sloth.
Yes. Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. Okay, so you're sticking by your thought process that this is all in Wanda's head.
Yes.
Wanda's conjuring this up. So this is just Wanda conjuring all this up in her own head.
I think that's the popular theory. It's not my theory. It's a popular theory that this is, you know, this is whether it's.
I want to know your opinion, Russ. I don't care about the internet's opinion. What do you think?
My opinion is that she's in mourning and that she's created this this reality.
Okay. No, you went on for about 3 minutes about it. Yeah. I really don't care. I just having fun jabbing at you because always jab at me.
But no, and I,
that's what this is about.
And so, and I've listened to like a Kevin Feige interview who he kind of focuses on like why television and why the sitcoms, and because WandaVision is a great show to start off with because it's almost like a homage to the sitcom. It's like a love letter to TV, and this is how Marvel Studios is starting their adventure into television. So WandaVision is this great starting point for them. So I think maybe that's a piece too, as far as the creators are concerned. But I think there's more to it. I think there's more in regards to Wanda's past about why she's creating this this reality. And I think it also lends well to your movie pick, which I think the similarities between Wanda and Bud might be closer than we think.
Oh, let's save that for a little bit later. That sounds intriguing. Now, just to loop back just real quick. For the uneducated, was WandaVision a comic book series in the Marvel Universe, or is this a new storyline that they've made up?
Essentially, like the whole sitcom vibe is made up for MCU. However, there is a belief that it is based off of a popular series called The House of M, which I believe was written by Josh Whedon. And I think I pronounced his first name wrong. And it was a book that was given to Elizabeth Olsen back in Age of Ultron. And she's mentioned it in interviews before. And so we think there's some sort of connection there with that comic series. So, and that's usually, I think, how Kevin Feige plays it is he'll take, you know, popular elements from comics, but they'll always do something a little bit differently that keeps people on their toes and surprises even the diehard comic fans. So part of this will be, I think, that, and that's where a lot of theories come from, is the diehard comic fans of what they expect from comics that have been previously released, but also trying to put together what the reality of the MCU is and where they think the MCU is going with other release, you know, with other films in the horizon and such.
You ready to move on?
Yeah, that's all I got. Sounds good.
Off to the grind. Vision is at his desk job, plowing through computational forms under the mask of a human. Mr. Hart, his boss, emerges from his office and discusses with Vision his anticipation for the dinner party that evening. Now under severe pressure from his employer for an entertaining evening, Vision calls Wanda to inform her, but during the process, their lines of communication get crossed. All right, so this is a scene where Vision is by himself.
Right.
At work.
Right.
Now you think, okay, now this is a bit of my problem with your, this is all in Wanda's head theory. Yes, if this is all in Wanda's head theory, why are we in a scene solo with Vision and Wanda's nowhere to be found?
Yes.
And she doesn't know what's going on. She can have telephone conversations with him. So explain that.
Yeah, exactly. So in Animal Crossing, you have an island and you are your avatar and you're the only real person on the island unless other people join you, which you can invite. Anyways, that's not important. You're the only real person on the island. However, there are computer identities on the island that you can engage
with. NPCs, Russ.
Thank you. And so even when you're not there, those NPCs still engage with the island and still have conversations with each other and still go on in tasks, even if you're not on that side of the island. It's like, it's pretty cool because obviously my experience with video games is there's the visual that you see, and anything that happens in that visual is the only thing that's happening in the video game. And as you move through the video game, the only thing that's happening is what you see. But I guess video games have changed. Yes.
Like now when you turn off the game, there's processing going on in the background,
right,
where the timeline of the game continues on and things happen while you're not actually playing.
And I assume she's created something very similar that and more complex. And so she's actually created all these AIs. Like all these individuals, potentially, maybe some of them are.
She's created a world and populated it with non-playable characters, and she's plopped herself in it.
Right, and so she's created,
and things just work no matter she's around there or not.
Because she wants a genuine, authentic experience. She wants Vision to believe he's Vision. She wants him to act like Vision, so she believes that he's real. You know, in her mind, she wants to be with a living Vision. So she created everything, but he's cognizant that he's Vision in a 50s reality, but he's not cognizant that. As much as she is, I believe. I think she has the control. Right. And you see that later on in the episode when she tells him what to do during the dinner party scene.
I'm saying here, like, Vision always seems very confused. He seems to be in a constant state of some sort of confusion.
Yes. You know? Because she's given him an intelligence that's matches on the surface of what Vision was, but he cannot figure out.
She's given him like a list of chores to do, right? Like taking out the paper and the trash, or he don't get no spending cash.
Ooh. Can you sing that?
Take out the papers and the trash. Boom, 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 boom. Or you don't get no spending cash.
Boom, 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 boom.
If you don't scrub that kitchen floor.
Boom, 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 boom.
I think I'll call your mom a whore.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's not it.
Boom, boom, boom.
No, yakety yak. This is the first time this song comes in. It comes in again. Now, I was just like, oh, they're just playing this song for the hell of it. But maybe there is a little bit more significance to this song. Breaking down the song, you know, what is it? A dad telling their child to do chores and listen to his way of the law, or, you know, his rules and regulations, or you don't get to play.
Oh, interesting. And that's kind of, so Wanda is the authority figure in this scenario, where she's like, this is the game, this is what we're playing.
Yeah, maybe. I think Wanda's playing the game, and someone else is.
Oh, is this your theory now?
The father giving the rules, yeah.
Oh, so you think Wanda is trapped in a reality.
Oh. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end, but I was thinking she's imprisoned, and so is Vision. I'm not saying the more you talk about your theory that you stole off the internet and claimed as your own, now that you're doing that, you know, it makes sense. It does make sense. It makes more sense why he's so confused. So maybe the show just checked another little tick box for me there on, what really is going on, right? A little intrigue.
I'd like to... pay.
But only now that we're talking about it. Yeah. During the show, I wasn't like, oh, I wonder what the... You know, I was actually kind of like, what is with these campy scenes?
I think a show like this requires discourse. It requires people to talk about it and think about it.
I guess, but during the show, here we are, we're probably about 10 minutes in, and it's nothing but cheesy, campy stuff. I'm looking for Easter eggs, the, you know, hidden meanings and stuff. I'm sure there was some.
Tons.
Yeah, but it's still... I think I wish maybe they hinted more on the mystery of what's going on a little bit more sporadically through the episode.
Right. Not just at the end.
Rather than the last 15 seconds at the end. Spoiler alert. But yeah, that's kind of what I wished. If that's what it was, trickle that in a little bit more rather than make this seem like a rerun of the Dick Van Dyke Show until the last 15 seconds where you throw us a little bit of a whammy.
I think it only just provides an example of Wanda's power. So if this is all Wanda doing, then I think it really needs to, we really need to live in that environment to show that she does have a handle on this. Like, you can't start the episode and problems arise right off the bat. Like, she needs, the problems have to slowly creep in. Like, right. Her loss of control has to slowly happen. We have to see that she had an intention, and it was to create a simple life for her and Vision to live out until the end of their days. And unfortunately, it starts to unravel a little bit at the end of this episode. And maybe as each episode goes by, it unravels more and more and more. So if episode one is about the 50s, episode two is about the 60s, and so on, each episode will capture a decade of television. Eventually, there's 9 episodes. There's going to be an end of the time. So they're only going to go up so far. And then
why the television? Why the sitcom? Why are we in these themes of a decade?
That goes back to my theory, Russ's theory, not the internet's theory, is that this goes back to her days in Sokovia when she was being experimented on by
Strucker.
Just
something that gives her, it's exactly, her escape, it's right? It's her escape room or whatever in her mind.
Say you're growing up. You got a single mom, you're socially inept, and, you know, it looks bad for you. AIDS is all around, the economy is bad.
Wait, do you have AIDS as well?
Global warming is real.
AIDS is around. The person you're talking about doesn't have AIDS.
AIDS is around.
Because that would be really shitty. You're like, single mom, you got no money, you're socially inept, you have AIDS.
Yes.
Like this, this is a really sad story.
Well, the only comfort you have is to watch a 50s television show in black and white called Pleasantville. And that's what brings you comfort because everything is simple. Everything, there's no surprises. Everything, it never rains. And that's what Wanda's going back is when she was in Sokovia being experimented on. She'd watch Pleasantville and that brought her joy. And she that is the life she wants. She doesn't want this superhero life where her brother is dead and her lover is dead. She wants to go back to Pleasantville, and that's what she's created for herself, a little Pleasantville for her and Vision.
So you think she's like in a coma somewhere in the present day or under some sort of spell she's put herself under, whatever.
Maybe like a self-induced coma?
Yeah, is she like sleeping somewhere? Like, where do you think she's sleeping?
That's a good question.
Is she sleeping? Is she floating? Is she like in a hyperbaric chamber?
Is she in space somewhere? Or
can
she
even breathe in space?
I mean, Captain Marvel can breathe in space. I mean, Wanda's pretty cool.
And how long has she been sleeping for? Like, she's going to stink after a while. Like, can't just lay there and sleep for a decade or two and not bath or eat or, you know, like what's giving her body the vitamins and nutrients it needs to stay in a coma? You know, is it the AIDS? Maybe the AIDS that she has and it's keeping
I don't
her.
Like where this is going.
I don't know either. I'm trying to be funny. Well, hopefully she wrangled somebody to feed her every
maybe
once in a while.
Maybe
IV. Iron Man. I no, Iron Man's dead. That's
I'm going to go through a condescending speech of why Iron Man's dead to you.
No, I know he's dead.
Oh, you didn't know Vision was dead, though.
I knew Vision was dead. I thought they were in a multiverse or something. You know, they were in a parallel universe where he's not dead.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness kind of thing?
Well, geez, isn't that supposed to be... This is supposed to be a precursor to that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's setting up a lot.
Yeah, so now you're all like, ooh, I don't think your theory is pretty good. But hey, maybe it's not that bad after all.
Yeah, just the idea that she can create this is probably like a good lead up to that for sure.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
Just I want to point out that there's a character in The Office named Phil... And he's getting fired because he didn't have his boss over for a good dinner. And he's got a mustache. And I think he's pretty great, Phil.
Big, you like Phil.
Big props for Phil. Anything Phil's doing, I'm in. 100%. Great comedic face, that Phil. I just look at him and I laugh. Well, more genuine than that. Yeah, that's true.
And then cut to a toaster commercial, a Spark Company toaster commercial. It's got some weird beeps. I don't know what's going on. This is obviously a giant Easter egg that I've watched it twice now.
Just the commercial?
No, I watched WandaVision twice.
Nice. Okay.
The first episode twice. Nice. One just to watch it and two to kind of write these notes, which I did write this time, Russ.
Oh, wow.
I wrote the synopsis on my own.
You're so
no cheating.
Amazing.
I know. I just wanted to prove that I could do it. So next time I'm just going to copy and paste from somewhere, but I'll give you a big middle finger.
I can
that
do it.
I can
just
do
let
it.
Me know if you need help. I can help
I
you.
I don't need help. That's the chore. Whoever picks the show has to write the synopsis. That's
so
the deal.
I think
anyways, yeah. Forget the past.
Right.
This is your future.
Yes,
was the
right.
tagline.
Yes. I think that's
hey,
key. That's
you know
key.
More about this than I do. Explain
no, no.
what's going
I,
on here.
I when I rewatched it, that's definitely the line I picked out on too, because I think it is something about so to your theory, as far as someone's doing this to Wanda, that line holds a lot of weight, I think. Like, forget the past, this is your future. Or maybe this is the mantra
like,
that...
forget, you're stuck here,
right.
just go with it.
Right.
Don't try and get out, you know, or figure it out. Just go with it.
It
forget.
Could be Wanda's mantra as well. Like, she's like, forget the past, you know, Vision's not dead, my brother, you know, whatever, like, this is my future now. I'm happily married with Vision. So it could be her saying it over and over in her mind as well, as she's maybe going a little... crazy, who knows.
Right.
It is interesting that this is a Stark toaster. So, you know, obviously the connection with Jarvis or the connection with the Avengers. It's the first time that we see color in the episode, the first and only time we see color in the episode. The light is blinking red. So if you didn't catch that,
there's where my red green color blindness comes into play. I did not pick up on that.
Yeah, and it almost like was a bomb too. Like it went like
before it was doing like, some weird beeping, like it was going to do something like explode or something.
Yeah. So to me, there's like a lot of little like, what is this commercial trying to say? Like Stark is there, you know, Stark is important. Maybe history is important. Regards, both Stark played a role in Wanda and Vision's past. There's this kind of time, this sense of this time burning toaster-ish, and then like, So yeah, just kind of
maybe it's like a hidden communication device.
Maybe.
Hmm. Cool. Anyways, it's totally out of left field. It's kind of thrown right in the middle of the episode. You know, there's something about it, but yeah, I guess it takes a better mind than mine to figure it out.
Better mind than all of us.
I guess so. Someone smarter than us, email us. Let us know what the toaster's all about. Dinner party. Mr. and Mrs. Hart, Mrs. Hart played by Deborah Jo Rupp, arrives home with Vision to catch a sultry Wanda waiting for an intimate evening with her husband. Through a combination of comical events and magical powers, the Odd Couple is able to explain Wanda's lingerie, hide their true identities, and salvage the dinner with some help from Agnes, the neighbor to their left. During the meal, Mr. Hart chokes on some shellfish, and as a last resort, Vision uses his special abilities to save him. All the while, Mrs. Hart is stuck looping the phrase, "Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!" while candidly fighting off her embarrassment. A resurrected Mr. Hart pops back to life, and he and his wife quickly finish their meal and leave, dismissing the entire event that just took place.
She had a cheat code. She used a cheat code.
Cheat code. Okay, well, you can explain that in a second. Deborah Jo Rupp, the mom from the 70s show, makes an appearance. Yes. She's fantastic.
Yes, 100%. Both actors are fantastic. Fun to see them both in that. I was just thinking, I thought of cheat code just right now as you were going through your recap, just keeping the whole analogy of the video game. So there was obviously a glitch in the system. He choked, and she had a cheat code to make Vision... Like, obviously, Vision wasn't going to do anything. He was just sitting there. And so she had to almost, like, come out of the whole idea of this 50s sitcom and go, Vision, do something. And that's when he actually used his power to get the meat out of his throat. Almost like that wouldn't have had... Vision wouldn't have known to do that unless she told him to do that.
Right. That's a good interpretation of it. My initial interpretation of it was he was just hesitant to show that he had powers. And it was like, what am I supposed to do here? We're not supposed to show anybody what we can do. Right. And then finally she was like, no, like, screw it. And I had to really hold back saying the F word there. But
good for you.
Did you like that?
This swear jar is really working.
It is. Although I don't give a shit about it, but anyways, there. I thought we
could retire it, but no, you brought it back.
No, that's okay. Wait. What was I going to say before F bomb?
The lack of F bomb.
Right. Yeah. No, he was hesitant because you weren't supposed to show their powers and all that. And then finally she was like, "Well, he's going to die. You better do something." You know, that's how I took it. But I like your theory too. That makes total sense too.
You mentioned the stop it. At first, she says, "Arthur, stop it." And then she's like, "Stop it, Arthur." Like, it's like Arthur's embarrassing her. Yeah. And then I caught this for sure on the third time I think I watched it. She looks over at Wanda and she's looking at Wanda and she's saying, "Stop it. Stop it." So again, to me, it's like Wanda has control. Wanda is doing this. And so shit takes Wanda to go, okay, we're not going to let him die.
Vision. Almost like she asks Wanda to stop it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, like almost this. Like I'm not supposed to break character, but I'm going to Wanda stop it. Yeah. You know?
Very Truman Show-ish kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've got a note here that she seems very nervous during that loop part, you know, not only sort of candidly embarrassed, but nervous and almost scared, like they might get reprimanded or something like that. Like there's a higher power watching them or something. It's like, she's nervous. Things aren't going smoothly and they need to for some reason.
Right. Which, begs the question, like, how much does Deborah Jo Rupp's character know? Like, is she cognizant? Is she more cognizant than Vision is about what's actually happening?
Almost seemed like it, eh? It seemed like she was a player in this game. But then, kind of switch.
Right. Or is she just a glitch? Yeah.
Yeah. Or was that just a glitch? Or is it a glitch of consciousness? You know what I mean?
I think the creators also said that they were inspired by the Twilight Zone. And I think at this point it does feel a little bit more Twilight Zone-ish.
Yeah, when he's choking, it cuts to a couple odd, more wide angle, closer.
Yeah, not like a sitcom feel, but like a single camera.
Cuts to a racer head for a couple shots and then back to the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, which I think is cool. Like, I think that's giving, to me, that's giving the hint of what we can expect as we go along the series. And it's just going to give you a tiny bit of it right now. But this is the show. This is where we're getting. Have faith in us.
But yeah, I've got a note here. You know, these people seem like puppets. Everybody just seems like they're populating this universe in order to interact with Wanda and Vision. Right. You know, there's nothing to them. They're just NPCs.
Yeah, they're creatures from Westworld. They've got main objectives, and they're just sticking to their main objectives.
And another thing, you know, the glitchy part before he starts choking on the shellfish, the boss, Mr. Hart, starts kind of emphatically. They start really pressing Wanda and Vision about their backstory, where they're from, where they came from, and then when they don't have the answers, both Wanda and the Vision can't come up with their wedding day, what day it was, where they're from, you know, what town they moved from, what city they came from. And the boss is getting angry and angry, like, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? Slamming his fist, and, you know, all prior to him choking. So what's that all about? You know, the why are you here part. He kept repeating that, almost like someone was puppeting him to ask that question, or speaking through him, almost, it seemed like to me. Someone was almost using him as a way of communication, I thought. It seemed like that to me, yeah.
Maybe.
And maybe that's why he started choking. Maybe some other higher power said, hey, someone's jacking into the Matrix here and screwing with my game with Wanda. How do I stop this? Okay, I'm going to make Mr. Hart choke.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And there is theories as far as, like, if she's created this bubble reality that that people are trying to. I mean, you see it at the end. You see the shot pull back and that kind of ratio change into like more of a widescreen of this kind of monitoring room. So people are watching. So are they watching as like idle participants, or are they watching because this is the only feed into the reality? And are they also trying to get into that reality? Are they sending messages? Are they sending people? Are they testing it? I like that idea. So that was it. Wanda's interpretation is like this guest coming over for dinner and asking kind of rudimentary questions, but maybe it's the reality is someone's actually sending a message going, Wanda, why are you here? What's going on?
Yeah, maybe they were planted to get her to spark something in her mind to start thinking about, why are you here, Wanda? You know, you're stuck in this prison. Maybe you need to become a little bit more conscious of it in order to get out.
Right.
Maybe.
And again, this scene, sorry to break this good thought process we're having, but again, it's introduced that Wanda is from Europe, even though Vision has the English accent.
Right.
And Wanda has no European accent.
Right.
Which is, I think, is funny to itself.
Yeah. Well, like I said, these people seem like puppets. They're not all the sharpest tools in the shed. And with that, you know, are they even real people with real thoughts? Are they just players in this game?
Are they just NPCs that Wanda created? NPCs
in this game.
Yeah.
All right. The conclusion. The two exhale a sigh of relief on the couch and start creating new special dates for the ones that they can't remember. Wanda conjures up a couple wedding rings for the pair, and the two renew their vows. They kiss and end the sitcom as the Vision presses an old school remote controller. They smile at the camera as it pulls back out of a television into a modern day monitoring room. End episode.
And
someone's in this monitoring room watching them on a TV monitor. Looks like they fold a clothes, almost like a passport on the table with a symbol on it. Almost looks.
I know. I'll tell you the symbol.
What is that symbol?
It's a sword.
Yeah.
So in the MCU, the sword stands for sentient Weapon Observation and Response Division.
They're kind of like SHIELD.
Right.
An acronym. It's an acronym for an agency of something.
Yeah. It's a subdivision of SHIELD.
Okay.
Which SHIELD is more like Homeland Security. And SWORD, I think, is more against the extraterrestrial threats in space, obviously.
So like Trump's Space Force.
Maybe it's Trump's Space Force. Maybe
Space
it's
Force. Okay.
So at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home, the most recent Spider-Man, Nick Fury at the post credits, Nick Fury is in like a space station. Don't know if you recall that.
Yes. And him and Girl from How I Met Your Mother, they were actually
Krells
aliens.
Or
aliens incognito for the
shapeshifters.
Yeah, for the whole
thing. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And how long have they been those characters? Because we know those characters were introduced in Captain Marvel, which took place in the 90s.
So, I think just recently, because I was like wondering the whole movie, why is, what's her name? Colby Armstrong? Colby Smothers. Who's Colby Armstrong?
Colby, my man.
Anyways, Colby, I found that she looked like she looked kind of tired the whole movie. Like they didn't put a regular amount of makeup on her. So, and it's obvious now why they did that.
Right.
She was a little more unkept than she normally is. Not that she's unkept ever, but she was, you know, she just seemed a little rough.
Well, I think there was little clues throughout the whole movie of that, the fact that this wasn't really Nick Fury. And I tried to look this up on the internet to see if I was right, but my thought was that Nick Fury was on like a SWORD type spacecraft in space.
Okay.
Like he's already there. Like he's already set this division up of SHIELD.
Right.
But that's not confirmed when SWORD was something in the comics, but it stands for something a little bit different. But same purpose. We believe that it will be in the MCU, especially with upcoming movies like the Eternals and stuff like that. So, it should, that's kind of what SWORD is. So
okay.
With SWORD is Wanda actually in space? Has she created this reality somewhere in space, and that's why SWORD's involved? Like why
maybe,
SWORD and
yeah,
not
maybe
SHIELD?
They're like maybe she's in like hypersleep, right?
Yeah, like she's just like she's created this bubble around her, and she's floating somewhere in space, living this little little uterus area, and she's just dreaming this thing, and they're trying to like connect with her, like you're saying, they're trying to send messages.
Right.
Maybe they send a couple.
She's
of
in a floating in fetus in space.
Floating fetus in space. Yes, thank
floating
you.
Floating fetus in space.
That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, thank
and,
you.
And but then what about the monitoring and stuff? If she's doing this, how are they, someone's monitoring this?
So, yeah, that's kind of...
Someone's able to watch this.
As like they were watching a sitcom.
That's why I think she's almost imprisoned or she's trapped. Maybe they haven't imprisoned her. Maybe she's self-imprisoned, you know, and they're trying to help her get out. Maybe she's like in like a self-induced coma here and it's just a way for her to grieve and deal with all this kind of, you know, in part with what you're talking about. But... you know, someone's able to monitor it. So
if this is coming from her mind and she's creating the sitcom, she's seeing it as if it was a sitcom. So they're trying to read her mind. This is what's coming out. And so I think for the magic of movie making or TV making, it's coming across as it looks authentically like a sitcom.
Right.
I think it's taking a little bit of artistic liberty, but, yes, right. That would be my thought.
And now there's a bunch of like names in the credits beyond Wanda Maximoff and Vision that I don't believe are actually people that made this episode in real life. Did you go down the rabbit hole with any of those names at all?
No,
I didn't.
I did not.
Maybe I'll for a temperature check next week. I can we can see if any of those fake names in the credit actually mean something.
Let's do it.
You ready to rate this? You got anything more to say?
No, let's go for it, man. This shit is awesome.
You suck.
All right, this is the part where we break it down and rate it. And three different categories: character, story, and interest. Russ goes first on the first category, character. Russ.
Thanks, Sean. I give this a 4. I like how their character is in a character. We talked about this earlier. They're superheroes from 2021, but they're authentically playing 50s sitcom husband and wife. So I like that interests me, how they're playing the humor. Paul Bettany, you know, he stuck out for me in as Chaucer in The Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger. That was the first time I saw Paul Bettany. I was like, this guy's freaking hilarious. I think he was underutilized as Vision. Also, so was Elizabeth Olsen as a great actor. Again, we talked about Catherine Hahn, how amazing she is in this show. Yeah, all those reasons give me a 4 out of 5 for character.
I gave it a 2 on characters. Okay, now listen to me. Like I said, I'm looking through this as a self-contained episode, okay?
Okay.
Someone that maybe I'm going at this as someone that maybe hasn't watched all the Marvel cinematic movies. They're aware of some of the characters, but maybe not all of them. So if I was coming fresh into this, then yeah, I'm gonna stand by my two for characters, because unless you know the backstory of these characters from prior Marvel cinematic stuff, you would be pretty confused, and these guys would be very, very flat and one dimensional, and you'd know really very little about them. So
I mean, you think about how many questions we have, and we've seen all the Marvel movies. Imagine if someone never had seen a Marvel movie, like they would be
Exactly.
But I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying like that would create so many more questions. They'd be like, well, wait a second. Why? What do you mean? This is what? How? Who?
He's or a what? Too many he, that it just yeah. turns them off.
I don't know. I like a lot. I like a mystery.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Me. It's all about
that's me. Good. That's good.
Story is. Sorry. Are you going first with story?
No, you go now. Now okay. It's your turn.
I gave it a 3. 3 out of 5 for story. I think they are asking a lot from us in a first episode. I have confidence that it's going to pay off in the end. It's definitely saying, relax, we got this, sit back. You know, Marvel's carrying us like a little baby in front of the television show. They're just, shh, I got you. And they're holding their hand. And so they're, you know, so I think for what it is, it probably spends a little bit too much time enjoying the sitcom element of it. I think it's necessary for the larger story, but maybe a little bit slow for the viewer. And I can understand that. So a 3.
3. Okay. You ready?
Oh, God.
I gave it a 2. Another 2.
Another 2.
Again, the mystery is lost to me until the very, very, very end. You know, I didn't get that sense of mystery. I wasn't questioning enough stuff. I was just sort of, my first viewing, I was just like, why is this so cheesy? Why is this so campy? Why is this just so weak? You know, the jokes weren't doing it for me. I get it. I know they were trying to emulate a 50s sitcom, but with that, just you know, the story of having the boss over for dinner and all that, I get it. I know they were trying to set up stuff,
yeah,
but it was too much of the campy sitcom and not enough of the why are we here, you know, and it just lost me. I was just, you know, I was more annoyed with the humor and stuff, and yeah, it just wasn't working for me.
Okay.
This is your turn to talk about interest now.
Out of 5 interest, I gave it a, are you ready for this? I gave it a 5.
Right.
That's right. There's a lot of factors that make me interested in this. Not only is it the follow-up of a decade of entertainment, it's like, what are you going to do next? And they could have done a lot of things, and they could have been very basic, and they could have just shown us another superhero show where there's lots of cool action shots. But no, they've completely uplifted the whole idea. They're showing us something new. They're table setting very slowly. I think it's just setting up a lot I'm interested. You know, I'm definitely interested in the characters. I have a lot of faith in where the story's going to go. I'm in it. I bought the popcorn. I'm sitting down every week.
You're waiting every Friday for this to come out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you liked it so much.
Thank you.
I am. I'm glad. I am. I'm glad.
Yeah. No.
I picked it. You liked it. I picked it. I didn't like it so much. My interest was 3. And I increased it a little bit over the course of this podcast just because the things we talked about piqued my interest a little bit more now that we've talked about it. So, I bumped it up a tiny bit. But from the initial viewing, again, like I said, it was the last 10 seconds that perked me up when we pulled out into that monitoring room. I get it. There was setup. There was homage to the Dick Van Dyke Show. They did that well. But I wanted a little bit more of the mystery, a little bit more hints at this prison or alternate universe or multiverse that we are in, just in order to keep my interest going. Like I said, the 50 scenes just, they got weak after a while, and the jokes just weren't hitting the mark for me. I get it. I guess, you know, they were going for the whole time era thing. For that, they hit it right on the head. So I'll give them kudos to that. But in a 2021 lens, those 1950s jokes did not pull me through.
You got to be in the right headspace for it.
Guess so.
I'm excited.
I will keep watching it though.
Yeah, until you will.
I will.
I'm excited to see how your scores go up by the end of the series.
Okay, well there you go. There's a challenge. We'll touch back on this. I'll definitely watch episode 2 now that episode 3 is out. So I'll try and burn through the two of them before we get together for our next podcast. And yeah, we'll see. So we'll see if my numbers gone up. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Deal.
You want to fight?
Not really.
Like you want to throw up?
Okay.
This is where we go back and touch base on the show that we reviewed last time we were on the podcast and just talk about if we're stayed true to our recommendation, whether that was to watch it or not. And Yellowstone was what we did. I recommended you watch it. I was very...
I recommended you watch it. It was my episode.
No, I recommend it to people that listen to the podcast.
Oh, you're
to
talking
watch
to
it.
You. You're not just talking to me as you. You're talking to the listener as you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You guys. Hey, guys. You guys.
So not me.
I recommended that you watch it. Russ, continue to watch it. And yeah, I've been binging this ever since. We're on season 3 now. There are only 3 seasons. I imagine by the end of the week, me and my wife will have completed Yellowstone. We love it. It is just getting more dramatic, more violent, more crazy. It is good. Do it.
Hey, wow. And I am on the third episode of season 1. But I'm enjoying it. I just haven't gotten through it as fast as you have.
And just about all of our predictions came true, except the 3-way gangbang with the governor. That never happened.
Oh, see, I was sure. No. I was sure that was going to happen.
No.
I don't recall that prediction, but.
But everything else happened.
Okay, good. That's exciting.
So now I just kind of spoiled it for you. So hopefully you don't remember what our other predictions were either.
Yeah,
Are you going to keep watching it?
I will definitely keep watching it. Yes,
it's just not on your priority list to
it's
binge.
It's not on the priority. I had to get through Bridgerton and
you got through it?
Okay,
perfect. You know what? That's awesome because that means you're not going to recommend but we watch it. It's perfect. I'm glad you got through Bridgerton.
You should watch Bridgerton.
I don't have to watch it. So there we go.
Do you believe in the pull-out method?
The pull-out method?
Yeah. Are you a believer in the pull-out method?
No.
Well, then you should watch Bridgerton. It's all about the pull-out method.
But I don't believe in the pull-out method.
Well, then you might like
Bridgerton. And I don't believe in Bridgerton. I had triple temperature check. Well, let's go way back in time. I was thinking about Palm Springs the other day.
Okay, Andy Samberg's film.
Andy
Palm
Samberg, time loop movie. Now, the very ending where we see they're in the pool, they've made it to the next day. They're in the pool. The family comes home. We cut, pull out, wide shot, shows the desert, and the dinosaurs are in the background.
Right.
Now, if the dinosaurs are in the background, does that mean they're still stuck in the in some form of a time loop? I'm kind of thinking now, maybe they just blasted themselves into the next day. That they're not, that they're still stuck in a, some sort of a time loop, but they just blasted themselves into the next day and they haven't realized it yet.
But the and how the dinosaurs get to the next day, though?
I don't know, because they're, the dinosaurs are in this time loop thingy.
Because
thingy.
We know we, they didn't.
Like, why were they there the previous day? Who knows? That's what I mean. Like, we still see the so something's still odd about the universe is what I'm getting at.
They didn't break the loop because we know J.K. Simmons is still in the loop.
He's in his loop.
He's in
Are they in a new loop, though?
I think you can't look into the dinosaurs. I think the dinosaurs were a little wink and a smile at the end.
Like you said, I've always wanted to put dinosaurs in a production, so I'm going to put it. Okay.
Yeah. Hope you had fun.
No, that's fine. I know I was reaching there, but I thought maybe we've got the workings for a Palm Springs 2, the return. Maybe the C4 explosion wasn't enough. It just got them into the next day. Now they need a nuclear size explosion in order to get out of the time loop. And now the pressure is on. They only have one day to find enough nuclear power explosion to get out of the loop forever. And that's the main conflict. They've got a day to find a nuclear bomb.
I'm going to get the Lonely Planet on the phone right now and you can pitch it to them.
That would be great.
It's the Lonely Island, you idiot. Oh, I can't believe you fell for that.
Oh.
Again.
Idiot. Such an idiot.
I'll be back.
Media Rewind. This is the part where we... I don't know if we watched this movie together. I don't think so. This is the first time I've seen this movie in its entirety. So, yeah. That's why I kind of picked it. Let's not keep you guys waiting any more further.
It is in the podcast description, so they probably know what it is.
Oh, right. You do that. We're reviewing 1998's Pleasantville, starring a young Tobey Maguire, a nice young Reese Witherspoon, Joan Allen, William H. Macy, Don Knotts.
Who's a lot younger than he is now.
Yeah. Jeff Daniels and young Paul Walker. Russ, like I said, this is the first time I'd seen this movie in its entirety. I'd seen it in pieces. I wanted to watch it because I thought it had relevance to the first episode of WandaVision. You've got some parallels that you've discovered between the two, which I'm interested to hear. But also digging through the WandaVision notes, I realized that the director actually was inspired by Pleasantville, whether that was some of the story elements or just some of the look or all of the above. That he then took into his WandaVision episode. So yeah, Pleasantville. I don't know, man. This one was a little hard for me to get through.
Interesting. I enjoyed it. I hadn't seen it for a very long time. I know I did see it in its entirety, so obviously we did not see it together. This is 1998, so this is 2 years after we graduated from high school. So I'm not sure where you were living at the time, but you probably weren't at your parents anymore?
I don't know.
So there wasn't as much when we were in high school. There was, you know, every weekend, every second day we were at your house watching movies in the basement. By 1998, I don't know if we were really...
There was no Sean's family basement in 1998 to binge watch movies in. No.
Yeah. No. But I probably had a regular long-term girlfriend at the time and we probably sat down and enjoyed Pleasantville.
You always had a long-term
girlfriend. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I can probably justify that statement, because was my history.
It is the truth.
Yeah.
I can vouch for it.
I was a commitment type of guy. Still am.
I was the third wheel forever.
Oh, wow. Do you think so?
Was the third wheel.
I don't think you were. I don't think you ever were, actually.
Junior high was quite the third wheel.
Maybe for 6 months in grade eight, you were.
Yeah.
You created your own life pretty quick.
No, I just latched onto yours. I still do.
I doubt it. So my thought is the comfort of how Tobey Maguire's McGuire's character, which I don't like his real character, I don't know, but when he goes in back into Pleasantville, his character's name is Bud. So I think that's fun. Reese Witherspoon was Mary Sue. So if we're going to refer to him, let's just refer to them as Bud and Mary Sue. So okay. Bud found a lot of comfort in Pleasantville. Like when, you know, the world seems rough, his home life is bad, he can't make friends. He can sit down and he knows what to expect when he watches Pleasantville. So that's my thought behind WandaVision.
Of course he loves Pleasantville. His mom's a piece of shit. Whoa. His dad doesn't want to visit with him.
His dad mom's might be just a piece of shit. His mom's trying to do her best, man. Jeez Louise.
His mom's taking off for the weekend, leaving her kids at home so she can go off with the younger man to Vegas and get naked and play with ping pong balls and anal beads. Well, there's And she leave wants her, to do her high school child
that's fine.
At home by themselves with just $20 for pizza for the weekend.
What's wrong with that?
Of course he's latching on to Pleasantville with the quote unquote, you know, nuclear family, the loving mom and dad, and gee whiz, son, I'll fluff your pillow in.
You had to edit yourself a number of times. I can see that.
I was trying to find something
very inappropriate.
Probably. It's yeah.
Thank you. The audience thanks you. It's a weird movie now to watch. I think it still holds up. Because I think at its base, it's kind of about repression and just people not being able to express themselves. But it is weird to see like a show of only white people in a town called Pleasantville, which has a lot of parallels to like the civil rights movement, where there's signs that say no coloreds. There's not a person of color in the whole cast. It's uncomfortable in that perspective. And I think it has some pretty big messages, and I think it was done.
Yeah, I like the themes. I like the themes of it in the end. This was a bit of a struggle for me to get through. I think it's 2 hours. I believe it was a little over 2 hours, 204. Anyways, the first half I thought was kind of a struggle. And then the last half, I enjoyed a little bit better when, you know, the themes started coming full circle and stuff like that. But cinematography is fantastic in this movie. Why it wasn't nominated. It did get 3 Oscar nods, art direction, costume design, and original score. I would not go back and watch this movie again.
I would recommend people. I mean, if people were looking for an old classic to go back to, I would say give it a watch for sure. I wouldn't say pass it.
Okay, your thumbs up. I'm kind of like, yeah, it's okay.
I think it's interesting to watch in a 2021 lens. I don't think, and so when I think about this, I think this was the Tobey Maguire breakup movie for me. I think he became kind of one of those staples. When I go back on his history, I see like from there he did Cider House Rules, and then shortly, you know, a number of years later, he started doing the Spider-Man movies.
Didn't he do one with Michael Douglas that kind of skyrocketed, Wonder Boy or something like that? I haven't seen that one, but that one I remember he got a little bit of praise from that one.
So Wonder Boys is 2 years after in 2000, and I don't recall that movie whatsoever, but yes, it is here in his internet movie database.
Yeah. No, I was getting pretty annoyed with Tobey Maguire as this movie goes on. I don't know what it is about him. He's just, ever since that train scene in Spider-Man where he's trying to stop, you know, the meme, everything's like, and his face is all like pulled, like they've got a leaf blower like 2 inches from his lips. But he's just, I just finding him annoying, and just, he's really whiny. I find him very, very typecast now, you know. He's just kind of the wimpy, I don't know. I'm trying to be nice here.
Well, I mean, I think he's picked up on your negativity, because really he hasn't done much for many years. So he's stayed.
Goodbye, Toby. Goodbye, Toby. It was nice. Hope you enjoyed your paradise. by Toby. Where's that from?
First of all, I'd like to say I disagree with your perspective of Tobey Maguire. I like Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Is it from Boogie Nights? Is it from Almost Famous? What is it from?
That's from The Office, man. That's Michael's song to Toby.
Okay.
When Toby goes to Colombia or where's the Bahamas? Where's Toby? Goodbye, Toby. It was not because Michael's so happy that Russ.
I've seen The Office once. I've seen the whole thing once, and when it first came out, I've never rewatched.
I thought you were a repeat offender. No,
I watched the British version a couple of times when it first came out, or when I got it on DVD, probably many years after it came out. Yes, I know The Office. I know it exists. Okay, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Boo. Spider-Man 1, yay. 412 was good.
Marvel Universe.
Yeah. What's
your thoughts? Is he coming back, Sean? Is he coming back?
I don't know. And they're talking about bringing what's his face back too.
Garfield.
Yeah.
Who's
Andrew Garfield?
Can I be condescending for a bit?
I like Andrew Garfield better than Tobey Maguire. So if I had to pick one or the other, I'd say bring back Garfield. And
what about bringing back both of them?
Sure. If they can make it work and do some sort of multiverse thing, I guess. But if Tobey Maguire saves a train and does that stupid fucking face again, I'm out of there. I'm just going to get up and walk out of the...
You obviously...
Actually, you know what? I'm not going to the theater anyways. I'm just going to turn it off the TV.
You obviously enjoyed the Miles Morales cartoon movie.
Loved it.
Right.
Loved it.
So obviously, everyone's bought into this idea that there's multiple Spider-Men out there. So it's like a free ticket to ride. The same director of the Spider-Man movies is directing Doctor Strangelove and the Multiverse of Madness. So is it unlikely that he could get Tobey Maguire to reprise his role?
I think with all the negativity he had on that role... You know, there wasn't much negativity on that role until other people started playing that role, right? And then he was compared to them, and then they're like, oh, Toby sucks. Tom Holland, yay. Toby, bad.
And Tom Holland.
Tommy, good. Andrew, okay. I think there's some politics with Andrew, though, or something like that. I don't know. I think he was pretty pissed off that Tom Holland was asked to be Spider-Man, and there was... Something there. He made his opinion known.
And I don't know a lot of this, but what I have heard is that he got his contract was based on multiple films. So he didn't get paid out very well for the first maybe couple of films, knowing that he would get paid more and more as they progressed. So maybe in that if that's true, then maybe he got slighted. Like as far as being in a superhero movie, he didn't get paid well. Compared to other people, but I actually don't think I ever saw any of his Spider-Man. Maybe I did. I don't remember.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Mans.
I think I did see the first Amazing Spider-Man.
What's her face?
With Mary Jane, who plays Mary Jane?
Emma Stone.
Yeah. You're right. I did see the first one with Emma Stone in it. Don't recall it, but I didn't see the second one with Jamie Foxx. The second one had Jamie Foxx in it.
Yeah, and Emma Stone dies in it.
Spoiler. Man, why would you say that? I think Jamie Foxx is also going to be in the next one as the same character.
Yeah, he's Electro.
Yeah. So they're bringing him back.
Well, Jamie Foxx can act. So, yay, Jamie Foxx. Boo, Tobey Maguire.
Ouch.
Maybe they'll bring back Don Knotts from this movie. Oh, wait. Is he dead?
He's Don dead. Knotts is dead. Don Knotts and Paul Walker...
are both dead.
Up in a cloud watching us. Not watching us, but watching Spider-Man. And just enjoying themselves.
Nice. I hope they are. Pleasantville. You got anything more you want to add?
I do not.
I don't really either. I'm sorry I picked it.
No, I thought it was good.
I feel like after I started watching it or after I finished WandaVision, I was like, shit, I should have stuck with The Truman Show.
Yeah, Truman Show's great.
It seemed... Well, yeah, obviously Truman Show is a better movie than Pleasantville, but maybe the themes and overall sort of imprisonment applied more with Truman Show and the Wanda Vision. Whereas Pleasantville, they were initially trapped, but then they had the option to leave and they decided not to.
Yeah, he left. He went back and she stayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he said he'd come back and visit, but
yeah, which begs to question, how could she get away with that?
Yeah, what's he gonna say? Yeah, where's your sister at? Oh, she's on the TV forever, Mom. Yeah. Oh, okay, you want to go to Vegas with my anal beads? Yeah, okay. Yay! I thought I knew I liked you, Toby. Hey. I'm Toby. Stargazing. This is where we just quickly mention things that we're looking forward to coming up. I've been so involved with Yellowstone that I haven't been really had my... I've sort of just been have horse blinders on while I've been watching Yellowstone. Since I'm on Prime watching that, this show Flack keeps showing up with... oh, shit. What's her name? From True Blood.
From the Vampire Show.
From the Vampire Show.
Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin in some sort of flack show about flackies. I don't know.
Have you watched it? It looks sexy.
It does. I was just holding off. I thought you might be... I'm going to wait until what you recommend we watch next time, thinking that that might be it. But
I don't know either. Well, I've already told you of my recommendation of Bridgerton, so you realize you can go watch that right
as
now.
As I roll my eyes.
The wife and I started to get into Schitt's Creek. We're only a few episodes in, but we've heard many great things. And yeah. And it's the first few episodes are a little bit of a slog. But we know that if we stay with it, we'll get rewarded. So hopefully we'll get through that. Last night, we watched Wizard of Oz.
The original?
The original. And I realized that I probably have not seen that movie for, I don't know, since I originally saw it 40 years ago.
With your family?
Yeah, yeah. We watched it with the family. And
what
I probably
did the girls think of it?
The girls liked it. I fell asleep. It was probably within 20 minutes to go. But I realized it's such an zeitgeist, right? Like it's such...
Such
it's,
a what?
It's such, like the idea of Wizard of Oz. Like Wizard of Oz itself is such part of our zeitgeist as a culture. Like
zeitgeist?
It's just, zeitgeist. Like it's talked about so much as like it's just part of us. Like you
I need to Google this word.
Please.
Zeitgeist.
Like you don't even know... Hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly. You don't even need to have seen Wizard of Oz, but you pick up on just aspects of Dorothy and Toto and the Scarecrow and all those types of things. There's plays. There's, you know, parodies. There's all these things where when I was watching the movie, I'm like, I have no recollection of any of this. And then when you do hear lines, I was like a dude watching a sporting event every time someone touched down. Like as soon as Dorothy was like, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. I was like, yes. Like I got really excited. I started high-fiving all my family members.
That's where that's from, kind of thing.
Like, yeah, it was just like, I don't know. It's such a popular phrase, but yet to see its origin so many years later, I just like super excited. The freaking Munchkin stuff, I was laughing my ass off. I was like, yeah. Like we are the Munchkin. Oh my gosh, it's too much. It's hilarious. I don't know. It's a great movie, except I fell asleep. So I don't know. Maybe it's not.
No, it is. Yeah. You know the story too much and all that, and you know, having kids is exhausting. So you know, the end of family days. I don't blame you.
But yeah, no, that's all I got. Hopefully I'll get through Yellowstone and I'll join you. Definitely looking forward to WandaVision. That'll be next episode where we just review WandaVision episode 2. You're welcome.
You can't do that.
Why? Because we just reviewed TV series? No, I don't think so.
We just reviewed WandaVision. You can't say, okay, now we do the number 2. No one's going to want to listen to number 2.
Podcast when we did Palm Springs. So I can do
whatever
I want. You can
give a movie.
Well, we can do the second episode.
Fine.
We're actually changing it. We're just doing the whole episode, the whole series of Adventure Time.
Yeah, right.
So look, if you guys want us to stop this and just start doing an Adventure Time podcast, please email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating. Leave a comment. Let us know how much we suck and how you'd rather listen to us if we were an Adventure Time podcast. We'd appreciate it.
Subscribe so you can hear how much we suck every time we drop a new podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean,
if you like people taking a giant turd in your ear, subscribe.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Thanks, Sean.
That's it, Russ.
Bye.
I like this and you like that.